Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our readings today come from Psalm 96, verse 1 to 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And our second reading today comes from Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality.
Father, we thank you this morning for your reading. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is life to us, Lord God, and light to us. And so, God, as we're delving into your word this morning, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would come have your way. More than my ability to be able to open the word up, I pray, God, that we would have ears that are able to hear what our Father desires to speak to us this morning. We bless the precious name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I see a number of new faces here. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? Please do feel welcome here. My name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. We want you all to feel welcome here. And if there's anything that we can do, we'd love it if you could fill out the contact cards that we have, the connect cards that are on your seats there, just so that we know how to best serve you. This will, you know, obviously help us to give us the information to be able to help serve you as much as we can. So please, if you have any questions or queries, you can talk to these handsome men on the sides here. They are not bouncers. They are your hosts. As it says on their chest, it's honor. The word is honor, not can I see your ID. All right? So please do see them, see myself. To the rest of our host team, we have a guest services table that we'd be happy to serve you however we can. But the title of my message today is called Changing Every World. Changing Every World. Today we're going to be talking, we've been talking in this series called DNA about what is the DNA of our church. And so we've been learning a lot about the vision and values. Last week we had Mark and Adele Dellett talk about campus ministry. I highly encourage you, for those of you who weren't able to be here last week, or weren't able to be at our Ian Logan campus, to download that because it was very enlightening. Can we give it up also for Adele? I know she's here, and on behalf of Mark, who's upstairs serving in you, great job. But we're talking about church planting and world missions. Now, before you shut off, because some in Christian society, especially in the West, there's a tendency to think, okay, church planting, world missions, where do I give? Or even worse, church planting, world missions, not called to do it. Maybe you won't listen to this one. So if you're listening to this podcast, stay tuned, okay? Because this involves all of us who are followers of Christ. Before I get into the message, I wanted to just highlight two nations in particular that God's put on the heart of this church to be involved in. Because as a movement of churches, we are our pillars of involvement in terms of outreach, our campus ministry, world missions, and church planting. And so today I'm covering those last two. And so We've specifically been praying for the nations. We pray for all the nations and support what God is doing in the different nations. But the two nations that God has called us to really sow into and really be a part of his plan are firstly, Samoa. Give it up, Samoa. I haven't been to Samoa for 13 years. Can you? No, even longer than that. 2006. 14 years. Goodness me. I will be back this year. I'll be back. And I can't wait to do that. Probably won't look as glamorous, but that's in Piula, for those of you who know, have been to Samoa. But Samoa is one of the nations that God has us going to, not just because your senior pastor is of Samoan descent, but because God has opened up many doors for us to be able to go in and just be a part of what God is establishing there. The long-term plan is to eventually go in and see how God would have us plant a work there. And we're praying for the right people to go, and so we're constantly just going over annually to be able to support what God has opened up for us there. So that's Samoa, and then of course the Netherlands. I know we sent a team last year. Give it up for wave everybody who was a part of that team. I know we've got some front row blessings up here. I've got Helen at the back there, the champion. So we've sent a team to Europe, and God, upon the inception of this church, and especially with regards to Tina and myself, was prophesied over us that as us as a church, we will have involvement in Europe. And we were wondering, what does that mean? Like Europe, it's just like literally on the other side of the world. But God has, again, opened up doors through the relationships that we have there. We have two very dear friends who are planting a work in Leiden, Netherlands, and they're sent out of what we're doing here, and we're supporting them. And so, again, annually we'll send teams over there to support the work that they're doing on the campus and eventually planting churches within and supporting the work of Every Nation in Europe as well. So that's where God has us in those two nations right now. I mean, God's got the nations for all of us, but these are the two specific nations that God's really laid on the heart of this church, at least at this stage. And I wanted at this point to pray for somebody who's been very instrumental in the works in both, especially Samoa, and that's to pray for Lily, because Lily, it's actually Lily's last Sunday, this Sunday, for a little while. she's about to embark on a sabbatical, and we're really just trusting that God's going to move in her life, and we really want to honor you, Lily. Come on up here, Lily, for the faith step that she is taking. For those of you who have not met Lily, where you been? Lily is a pillar in this house. She is not just the leader, but a pillar. And we're dearly going to miss our sister. But this is a part of being a church that is missional, is that we trust God as he leads those who are sent and those who have been equipped. Lily's been equipped. Lily has been very instrumental in not just the work in Samoa and supporting us and going to the Netherlands, but obviously here we're in this venue because of the favor of the Lord that's on Lily, to be honest, because for a few years she's been working here and used this as any platform that God has given Lily. Lily has used it as a platform to reach out into the community with My Story, and not even under the label of My Story. She just lives missionally. And I really wanted to honor Lily and before everybody here, as somebody who lives out a lot of what I'm talking about. Is Lily in full-time ministry? Yes and no. Not necessarily working for the church, but she lives in full-time ministry mode in the way that she lives her life. How many of you can vouch for that, witnessing that in Lily's life? I'm actually, Lily, prepared, because I'm going to give you a chance to share a little bit and any words that you might want to say. And we're really honored to have Lily's family. Lily's parents are here. I know Lily's brother's here. Can we give it up for them? Raising such an amazing daughter. And I'm actually going to get some of Lily's friends, or all of Lily's friends, everybody's going to come down. But those of you who are leaders in the church and just want to come, just come. If you feel led to come, just come. But Lily, what you on? Just share with us a little bit what's on your heart for this next season and anything that you want to share with the team.
Hi, family. Man, God is so good. He is so faithful, so, so faithful. As tough as this is for me, I don't have any fear or what happens when you actually move, you know, everything, because he is so faithful. Every single word he's spoken over my life, every single thing that he said he was going to do, he has done. And so this, once again, is another one of those faith steps where I know he's going to come through. You know, I have no idea what is going to happen or how, but because of his faithfulness and because of his character, I can go so fully confident and secure. And it is tough because I'm human and all my friends are here, but God is faithful. And so I am going for a rest in Melbourne, so a sabbatical, that's what we call it, just to grow deeper. I know the next levels of what God wants to do, either here or in the nations, requires me to go deeper with him. And you're probably thinking, why don't you do it in Brisbane? Because I am an executioner and I do a lot of things and I got itchy feet. So God has to strip everything away so that I am quiet and I sit still wherever I sit, and he is the only focus, and that's what he's done in this season. And so, it's not goodbye, it's see you later, but I have, this has been such a special family for me, where God has healed, God has restored, and God has become all, you know, for me. And so I love this church family. Please continue to pray for our pastors. I am for Pastor Nelly and Tina. They have stood with me. They are for me. And they have that same thing for you. You know, a lot of people come to church and they think, you know, all these lies because of things that you've gone through with our leaders. No, they're human too. More than anything, I have learned to pray for my pastors. I've learned to stand with them in the vision. And in that same way, you know, when it rains, so I see the rain on him and on Nelly and Tina, and I kind of just did this because I kind of want to get the favor too and the anointing from God. And I have. The blessing has fallen on me too, and not because of that, but because we run together. And so they are for you, church. Please support Nelly and Tina and the vision for this church. They really are for you. And in that way, God is, you know, God will be for you as well. And so thank you so much, family, and I love you all.
And so when it comes to thinking about missions and thinking missionally, like I said, Lily embodies this for us as a church. I've watched her and I've witnessed her life where God's spoken to her and said, go. And I want to shout out all the single people in here. Your mission is not to find the missionary. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm finished. Like, that's it, man. Your mission, like, I love seeing single people use the season that you're in on God's mission. There's a fulfillment. Yes, we'll believe God if God has put a desire on your heart to eventually get married, but that's not your mission. And if you move out of God's commission, you'll end up using your mission time to try to reach your significant other and try to shape them into what you dreamed they would be. And then they end up being a shadow of what you expect from God when God has said, I should have been that for you. I wasn't planning on saying that, but you know, this is our response to missions. And this is something, again, that I've seen Lily embody is we give, everybody say give. We pray, everybody say pray. Okay, quote MC Hammer, turn to your neighbor and say, we got to pray just to make it today. Okay, and go. Everybody say go. Give, pray, go. Okay, those are our three responses to how we respond to missions. Now, here's where I want to switch gears, guys, because it's not just, when we think about missions, we often think about other nations. And statistics show, research done by Dr. Scott Moreau at my alma mater, Wheaton, he talks about how when short-term missionaries go on short-term missions, they actually have a tendency to be less effective in the nations that they're in because they've scratched a missional itch on the by going on a short-term missions without the proper activation back home. Now, does that mean we don't go on short-term missions? Absolutely not. We will go on short-term missions, and we do go on short-term missions, but we send people who are fruitful on the ground here. It's not to scratch a missional itch. It's for us to learn, look, the missionary activity that we do overseas should flow out of what we're doing locally. And that's what we're born to do. Brisbane is our mission field. I don't care if your contract's here for like 6 months. That 6 months is allocated here. And until you learn to be missional here, you will never enter into the fullness of the blessing that God has for you. And it really takes the Holy Spirit to shatter the heart of a Kiwi to call Australia home. But I'm calling this place home. Righto? Yeah. Crikey, no applause for that one. I thought that was a ripper point, mate. Come on. So my question for you this morning as a missional church is, are you a thermostat or a thermometer? What's the difference? Like if you have an aircon unit at home, God bless you. Some of you are looking at me like, we just have pieces of paper where we fan each other, Pastor Nelly. We are the mission field. But often when you have an aircon unit, they do both, right? They read the temperature, the thermometer, and the thermostat changes the temperature, okay? So a thermometer reads whatever the temperature is, but is not affected by the temperature other than the mercury or whatever form of liquid metal that rises to give you an indication of what that temperature is. But it's a thermostat that dictates the temperature of the environment as to which that device is put in. You are called to be a thermostat in the Spirit. We carry the Holy Spirit in any environment that we get to enter into as the people of God should be transformed and changed. Let me start at a very basic level. Let me quote our homegirl, Maya Angelou. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel. When you're around people, are you aware of the way you make them feel, to quote Michael Jackson, the way you make me feel, right? If you could describe what people feel in one word when you walk in the room, what would that word be? Think about it for a moment. Just think about it. You can turn to your neighbor and tell them what that word is. It'll also show the humility level as to how you respond. Amazing. It's like that guy who won the trophy for being humble, but the moment he showed it, he got it taken off of him. Sorry, that's just, it'll get there. I know Monday's on the way. See, here's the thing. You may have a perception as to what that word is, but how many of you know the truth can be found in the people closest to you? How many of you know if you want to know the one word that describes me, you don't ask me. You ask Tina, and she'll tell you amazing. No, I'm just kidding. If you can describe what people feel in one word when you walk in the room, what would that word be, right? I'm using props today. Let's look at scripture. When we think about the presence of the Lord and how when the presence of the Lord is in the place. Now, we know that God is omnipresent. Don't get me wrong, okay? Some of y'all are looking at me like theologically going, okay, God is everywhere. Yes, he's everywhere. But our awareness of his presence and the when the manifest presence, look at me, I'm better looking than the board. Come on. Thank you, David. Give it up for David. You can put it right there. Thank you. Right? He said, my presence goes with you and I will give you rest. How many of you like rest? That's what happens when the presence of the Lord is in a place. When you're aware of his presence, he gives you rest. What's the opposite of rest? Anxiety? Stress? No, I'm not talking about good stress. Because how many of you know, like, stress prompts you to do stuff that you should be doing anyway. But I'm talking about that stress that is not from God. That stress that when you move outside of the zone of tired into weary. How many of you know there's a difference between being tired and being weary? Being tired is a condition of the body because you haven't had enough rest or sleep or recuperation for those of you who work out, right? But if you move outside of that zone and you move into weariness, it's a spiritual condition where you're moving outside of what God has apportioned and strengthened you to do. And so you start to do things God hasn't called you to do. Good things, but not God things, not the things that he's called you to do. That's when you enter into a zone of weariness. Because God never apportions strength for you to do that, but you're doing that because you think it's good. And often, you need to watch it because you enter into the Martha zone. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how Martha was comparing herself to Mary because she was being active in things that God had not necessarily called her to do in that season. It was the season to sit at Jesus' feet. And so what ends up happening is you don't have rest. You want to have rest? Ask God for his presence. Because when he walks in the room, there's a thermostat change. And you are a vessel. If you're a follower of Jesus in this place, you are a vessel that carries the Holy Spirit. If you're telling me you're operating in anxiety, my first question to you is, how is your time with God? How are you connected with God? How's your devotional time? And I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, you'll tell me it's not good. How's your worship lifestyle? How's your time of connection with God? When I hear somebody that's saying, I'm not in that place of rest, that should be the first question if you're a disciple or a maker of disciples. You should ask those whom you're discipling is, how's your time with God? Don't just talk about the activity of your time with God as being transactional, check, but transformational. There's a difference between connection with God. What else about the presence of God, right? The presence of God is described here in Psalms. It says, when my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. How many of you know, when you're in the presence of God, God takes care of your enemies? I've got 4 people who experienced that. How many of you know that if you have a spiritual enemy, how many of you know, like, when the Bible describes the devil, he describes him as our enemy. He's not the enemy of God, because there is no enemy worthy of God's offense. All God has to do in his omnipotence is wipe the devil out. And he will, and he does. And when you're in his presence, the enemy can't put a hand on you. Because he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's what his presence does, right? Psalm 95 says this, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. I can tell. The depth of the level of the revelation of God by how deep the worship that flows out of that fountain. Now, no matter where you sit theologically, I believe this to be true. Bill Johnson said it this way, right? That you will worship God in proportion to the revelation of who he is. So what that's basically saying is the depth of your worship is dictated by the depth of your revelation. When you know him to be good, when you know him to be great, when you know him to be your healer, when you've seen him do wonderful things, when you've experienced his presence, it drives a worship that can't be denied. But if it's all meh kind of worship, that describes a meh kind of revelation of the presence of God. Acts chapter 2 says it this way. You remember this from Acts 2, right? The Pentecost. You have made known to me the paths of life. You want to know the will of God for your life? Get in the presence of God. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Psalms also says, right? You make known the path of life in your presence. There is what? Fullness of joy. It's not, again, you've heard me describe, right? Happiness is different from joy because happiness depends on what's happening. Whereas joy is the resilient rock of our salvation being built. No matter what storms come your way, you will carry a resilient joy knowing that there is one who is stronger and mightier than any storm that you face. And in that presence, there is fullness of joy. You show me a Christian who knows the presence of God, I'll show you someone who has a resilient joy in their spirit. One of my favorite descriptions of what the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. Now the Lord, everybody say Lord. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You show me someone who knows where the presence and the Spirit of the Lord is, you're showing me somebody who operates in freedom. When the presence of the Lord is in a place, everything has to change. Everything has to change. But it's our awareness of his presence. God is looking for earthen vessels to just crack open what God would invite us into. I'm inviting you to, you want to live missionally, go deeper in your devotions. This is all going to connect. Because when you think about it, it's all under this concept of understanding that Jesus is Lord, right? He has to be Lord. What does Lord mean? Master, boss, right? The one who calls the shots. Carrie Underwood was right. Jesus take the wheel. But guess what? He owns the car too. And the motorway. Just in case you're wondering. He's Lord. He's boss. He's king. He's the ruler. He reigns. But does he? Like in your life, you think about it. Does he reign? Really? Because in the areas where you struggle with him reigning, those are the areas that you'll be most stressed about, right? God, you can be Lord of every area. Like we have an option. And God gives us the option. We shouldn't really. If we embrace his lordship, then we should embrace the, you know, whatever the tendencies are for him to operate in our lives, right? We should submit to his lordship. Well, we'll give you authority in every area. Just don't touch finances. Please, Lord, make sure that Pastor Nell doesn't preach on tithing today because I just don't like it. You can mess with any area of my life, but just don't touch my wallet, Lord. You know? Do you know how hypocritical that statement is? He's Lord of every area except secret boyfriend. Well, did I stand on somebody's toes? But you touch on every area of our. When you peel the layers back of the onion, for those of you at the wedding yesterday, of the onion, when you peel the layers back, at the core of every sin is pride and idolatry. Every sin. It's Christianity and worshiping Christ versus selfism. Because then at the core of it, we're worshiping something to get something. And every single one of us is a worshiper. So when we break this down, right, when we look at the mission that God gives us, we look at what needs to be described as just declaring that Jesus is Lord. Because there are two types of people in this world, two types of people in this room. There are those who know that Jesus Christ is Lord and those who don't. Because there is no denying that Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't depend on our decision. He's Lord. It's just some people don't know it yet. And so if you want to wrap our mission up in a bite-sized nugget, it is the mission that all would know Jesus is Lord. The fulfillment of the prophecy in Ephesians, right? That every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone's going to know. It's just a matter of which side of judgment they will know that. So let's look at these four elements of the gospel message, right? Firstly, forgive my writing. I know it looks like somebody who tagged on your fence. The first aspect of the gospel is creation, right? When Jesus is Lord and we understand what we're created for, we know what our destiny is, right? We know what our purpose is. We know, you know, it's like if I take an iPad, right? If I take an iPad and I don't know what it's for, so I take it to the kitchen and basically go chop onions to further the onion analogy on my iPad. What's going to happen to my iPad? It will cease to function the way it was designed to because I haven't connected with the one who designed it, or at least the genius bar, because I'm an Apple head, to find out what it's purpose for. I haven't read the manual, aka the Bible, to know what it's purpose for. So we have two types of choices. There are those who know he's Lord and those who don't know he's Lord, and therefore they would operate under different circumstances, right? So we don't fulfill the purpose. So creation reveals our destiny, our purpose. There is the Latin term imago Dei. We are made and created in the image of God. And Christian, if you're in the room today, your job is to stay in that place of being reflective of the image of God, reminding yourself whose image you are made in. And that's why Jesus would say, when they said, okay, do we give to Caesar? Do we give to whose image is on that coin? What Jesus was saying there is like, give to Caesar what is Caesar, what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God, right? He's basically asking, whose image is on you today? So from creation, you were created with a purpose, with a meaning. And without vision, people cast off restraint. Without vision, people perish. Pray for me. I'm doing this 8-week challenge at the gym. It's hard. We had this wedding yesterday, Sam and Linda's wedding, and all sorts of Samoan delicacies were in front of me, just bathing in all sorts of beautiful MSG. And I was just like, message. And I was just looking at them going, oh man, like, I am chosen, not forsaken. The Taro was like, eat me. Balosami was like, eat me. But I was talking to a personal trainer at my gym earlier this week, and he was talking about like a lot of the people that come, that it's not necessarily the workouts that are hard. Like, I'm sure Daryl, you could vouch for this. It's a vision. It's having a vision for what God, like, even if you're not a Christian, it's just having a vision for what health could look like. If you don't have that vision, KFC will gladly give you a vision. There's a reason why he looks like a pastor. Like Colonel Sanders with the red and white stripes, like, come. White as snow, red in the blood of Jesus, just come. Come, drive-through blessings, ha! From Kentucky, ha! So that's creation. What happened after creation is the fall, right? And again, this happens when we veer off not understanding the lordship of Jesus Christ, that he is boss, he is king, he is Lord. And that's something that we all are tempted towards. The enemy is subtle. Have you figured it out yet? The enemy doesn't come at you and like, blah, temptation. Like if you struggle with lust, he doesn't just like you're driving down the road, he doesn't just throw a prostitute in front of your car and like, oh, fallen. Now he'll tempt you with little phone, little Safari, little action. Yeah, it's not really porn if you're watching a music video. It's like things lead down, one thing lead. How many of you have heard the term one thing leads to another? And before you know it, you're at a drive-thru you never meant to be at. And can you upsize? Or maybe that's just me. But we've all, Romans 3 says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The presence of the Lord, the thermostat, right, keeps us by the grace of God, in the will of God, understanding what we were created for, keeps us away from falling again. The Bible actually teaches us in many places. I don't have time to unpack it, but you can go to 2 Peter and look. There's a list of things that says if you do these things and you get them in your spirit by the grace of God, you won't fall at all. It's not like, oh, it's so hard. Like, read the Bible and ask God for his Holy Spirit. That's it. It's not that hard. But it is that hard. Because for the whole day, there's all sorts of temptations and marketing schemes that are telling us about things that we don't have in our lives that we need to have in order to exist. As I've said, I'm an Apple head, right? I love Apple products. But lately, man, those Android devices have been catching up. And the Samsung just revealed these phones that look like Rubik's Cubes, they fold and stuff. And I'm just like, wow. Looked at my Apple device. I'm like, you better hurry up and come up with something better, man. I started talking to him as like a person. Come on, Siri. You better step your game up. That's the issue with the fall. you move into the land of not enough. Because the fall has that statement at its centrality. Number one, it's not enough. Number two, it's all about me. If you can see past those two statements and see at the heart of everything that the enemy or this world will tempt you towards, it's those two statements. It's all about me. Yeah. Remember when McDonald's had that tagline, you deserve a break today. I said, yeah, I do. I really do. But we have a Redeemer. How many of you are thankful for the Redeemer? And this is where the Lord comes in, right? If we've been created and we try to correct ourselves, it's like taking a computer and from the inside of the computer, as you being a part of the CPU, trying to control the computer. It takes an outside force to actually reprogram the computer, to reconfigure it, to recode it so that it fulfills what it's supposed to do. It takes an outside force. You can't do it. How many of you have figured that out? You can't do it on your own. Yet in our fallen state, you know, other religions will tell you, you need to do this more. You need to try this more. You need to go to this place over here. You need to, meditate, empty your mind. Let me just say this. Christians, we need to meditate, but we need to fill our mind with the Word of God. If anything, Christians do need to learn to be still, do need to make room for Him to come. We've lost the art of meditation, and you wonder why so many Christians are actually running more towards a yogi who does yoga than they run to their pastor who should be teaching them about how to find rest for their souls. That's what Psalm 23 promises us, right? Rest for your souls, rest, restoration. And that's what Christ has come to. He redeems us, meaning He has paid the price and He has taken us as His own. We have been found guilty for the sin that separates us eternally from God. And He says, I will pay the price. And this is the redemption we find. He pays the price fully. It's fully paid for. So the issue then becomes one of trust, right? And this was why, again, you know, I know we were praying for Lily earlier. This is where I can testify towards my sister being just a great example of someone who's had to learn how to significantly trust God, and then people around her watching her trust God, and God giving her breakthrough. And as God gives her breakthrough, a number of the people around her who are her mission field actually start to say, wow, I want to follow that God that you're following. Because it's your trusting in Him that is often the gospel that people need. They're looking for someone or something to trust. And it's the reason why a lot of people enter into relationships that will simply be abusive. It's because they're craving for somebody to trust. Or they harden themselves towards relationships that could be beneficial because they've had their trust broken time and time again. We're all going to fail, even as a pastor, by the grace of God. I'm thankful that I get to pastor your church. But like Lily said, I'm human too. And I'm doing my job if I point you towards the one you can trust utterly. And that's where the redemption comes in. The part that we often fail to see, and this is where the mission becomes active. It's not the starting point, and this is the reason why I bring up the entirety of the gospel. It's the part about restoration, that God has given us a mission, right? And we see it through the lens of Christ now. The story does not end on the third day. It actually starts there. Because after the third day, there was a 40th day. We thank God for the third day. But it's that resurrection power that empowers what happened on the 40th day where He ascended. And on that 40th day, His final instructions were, you will be my witnesses. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray you would hear the cry of the Holy Spirit. He's calling all of us who are in this room to be His witnesses. 2 weeks ago, I talked about being martyr, where we get the word martyr. That's the word in the Greek. Willing to lay your life down for the mission that He calls us to. And the mission is one of restoration. Firstly, He restores you, right? We read 2 Corinthians 5:17 through the lens of ourselves, but it's actually Him restoring the church, where we see that if we are in Christ, we are what? New creations, new creatures. The old has gone, the new is here, meaning that He restores us, yes, as individuals. But please, church, don't fall into the trap
that many in the West have fallen into is in terms of that's where it ends. An individualistic faith, because the next verse talks about us being ministers of reconciliation. And then two verses after that, ambassadors for Christ. We forget about that. I just like being a new creature, a new creation. Sounds like a Dove soap ad. Yeah, just give me that. Moisturize me. Exfoliate my sin, Lord. It's just like a Holy Spirit spa. Yes, that's great. You're glowing. Now take the glow and go. Like, you need to go. That's the whole point behind this, is that he restores us to be his vessels on the mission. The problem is, either number one, we stay in this zone. We just love, oh, redeem me, Lord. Let me just soak in the redemption. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we don't not activated towards the mission, which is the purpose of God. We love the presence. Thank you, Jesus. We just soak for 3-4 hours till I'm wrinkly like an old man in the bathtub. Just soak. But don't challenge me to go. Just want to soak. Then you get people that think that this is all there is. Mission, mission, mission. No Holy Spirit, no redemption, no cross. Then it becomes all about works. Then you hear about people burning out, this and that. Look, if you are close to the presence of God, it empowers the purpose of God. Right? There is no purpose without presence. There is no presence without purpose. You need both the Holy Spirit and power to be my witnesses. And this is where we're at, guys. When Jesus is Lord, all is restored. So this is where I'm winding up. What might the Lord want to restore in you? But even more importantly, I sense the challenge for all of us is what might the Lord want to restore through you? When Jesus is Lord, also, his praise is sung everywhere. In Psalms, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation day to day, every day, Monday, Tuesday. Easy on Sunday when everybody's here. It's just clock in the religious praise song, lift our hands, kind of. Declare his glory among the nations, okay? Not in, just in your bedroom. It's great. Not just in your living room, but let's move it outside. His marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord. Everybody say, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all other gods. Thirdly, when Jesus is Lord, it becomes easier to abandon your preferences for his glory that others may know him. We all have preferences. It's not about our preferences. It's about his purposes towards his people. This is the passage that Bianca read, right? Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly and sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. You want to be missional. It's not just, yes, preach the gospel, but just be honorable. Don't open your mouth and preach unless your heart is honorable. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Guys, if there's any embodiment in 2020 of the gospel being advanced in the mission of God, the word is hospitality. Creating environments where people can be invited into the presence of God that I've been talking about. Creating environments for them to enter into the gospel. Here's the question that I have for us to discuss. Just discuss this. Is Jesus your Lord? If yes, how is this reflected in the way that you prioritize his mission? If no, would you like to receive him, trust him as your Lord of your life today? If you're a Christian here and then you're sitting with somebody who's a non-Christian, I'm just going to simply give you this as a guideline. Because often, and you will have heard me say this before, often at times there's an expectation that the pastor will pray a prayer, and I will pray a prayer later for those who want to receive Jesus as Lord. But I want to equip you to be able to lead somebody to follow Jesus as Lord. All you do is lead them in a prayer covering these three things. Recognizing that he's not Lord right now, number one. Receiving his forgiveness and cleansing through the cross of Jesus Christ, that's number two. And then giving your life over to his full control, that's number three. And I declare that you are Lord of my life. If you can remember those three things, recognizing where you're at, realizing that he is the one who forgives us, and rising with him as our Lord today. That's all it is in order to lead somebody to become a Christian, to follow Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.